special report. We're learning a bit more about the shootings in Kansas City yesterday at the Super Bowl rally.
I want to stress that preliminary investigative findings have shown there was no nexus to terrorism or homegrown violent extremism.
Police Chief Stacy Graves.
The 22 victims' age range between 8 years old and 47 years old. At least half of our victims are under the age of 16.
One adult was killed.
We have subjects detained, two of which are juveniles. We are working to determine the involvement of others. And it should be noted we have recovered several firearms.
Mayor Quentin Lucas says the community will need time to heal.
I don't think in any way that this is Kansas City. I do think that there's a gun violence challenge in this community and many others, and there certainly is a gun violence challenge as it relates to major events.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammy McCormick.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Eric Hovde plans to launch his campaign for U.S. Senate next week. That's what Hovde's campaign spokesman tells reporters. Wisconsin is a swing state as both major parties fight for control of the Senate this year. A last-minute amendment to Governor Evers' political maps bill might complicate elections this year. The legislature passed his maps the other day, but they wouldn't take effect until the November campaign. Democratic State Senator Melissa Agard says that means any race before then would be held in unconstitutional districts.
Speaker Voss is in the middle of a recall, and we're not sure what maps he would run on. Additionally, in the Senate, Lena Taylor was just appointed to be a judge in Milwaukee, so we're down one member in the state Senate.
Evers has said he'd sign off on the maps as long as they weren't changed. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRJN News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The snow accumulation is hit or miss in the area. Some of southeastern Wisconsin is experiencing wintry conditions, with folks further north getting a buildup of the white stuff. Almost everywhere is a wet, slushy mess. The National Weather Service had the winter weather advisory, including Waukesha and Milwaukee counties, but excluding Racine, Kenosha, and the counties along the state line. A man accused of pulling the trigger in a New Year's Eve shooting at a Racine bar will go to trial. Abdullah Rashada, 25, was bound over for trial yesterday for the 2023 murder at Reruns Lounge. 56-year-old Billy Petty was shot and killed, with Rashada charged with 5 felonies. Another victim of the New Year's Day shooting was 66-year-old Avery Rerun Stewart. He owned the pub. Rashada is only charged with Petty's death. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WRJN News.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my birds.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Bucks hit the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks are in Memphis tonight against the Grizzlies. So far this month, the Bucks have a record of 3-4. They remain in third place in the Eastern Conference behind the Celtics and the Cavaliers. After the game, Giannis Antetokounmpo and teammate Damian Lillard head to Indianapolis, the site of this year's NBA All-Star Game, inside Lucas Oil Stadium, the home of the Colts. The tip-off is Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Baseball. The Brewers making a trade yesterday with the Yankees, sending 27-year-old lefty Clayton Andrews to New York. In return, they get a prospect, 19-year-old right-hander Joshua Quezada, who was impressive in the Dominican leagues. The Brewers pitchers and catchers report today, some new players, and a new manager, Pat Murphy, who was the bench coach, and talked about just how valuable closing pitcher Devin Williams is.
I've been with the Brewers now, I think, 9 years. You talk about blessed, you know what I mean? Think of the other guys before Devin. But Devin, I think, is the most underrated of all.
That's the Brewers' new manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Under a mix of sun and clouds today as high temperatures climb slightly above freezing into the upper 30s. But the breezy winds blasting us out of the northwest at 30 miles per hour is making it feel about 10 degrees cooler. It's also dragging in cooler temperatures for tomorrow. Right now, it's 35.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on AM 1400, 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport.
News Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Thursday, February 15th, 2024. It is 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Mr. Zommers, a pleasant good afternoon to you. It is sunny skies here high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. My voice still not quite back to where it needs to be, but hopefully on the mend. How are you?
Doing well, and sunny indeed it is. Unfortunately, I did not realize this morning that it had snowed, and it's all slush. And yeah. So walking to my car, I have very breathable shoes, and unfortunately that means my feet got fairly wet.
Yeah, the little damp feet. And then once, especially this time of year, once your feet are wet, the rest of the day just kind of, ugh, not so great.
Yeah, luckily, because my shoes are breathable, they're dry.
Oh, really? They've already dried out?
Yeah, I didn't, like, step in an enormous puddle. It's just I got some slush on it, and I was like, ah, dang it.
Well, you know, that slushy season needs some waterproof shoes.
That's why spring is my least favorite season. Like, really? I appreciate the weather. I like the temperatures. Mm. I don't like how in Wisconsin, spring is just mud season.
Yeah. And spring is coming a little bit early this year, or so it appears, although today is a bit more wintry. Of course, up in northern Wisconsin, they could use more snow. From what reports that I've seen, far northern Wisconsin, Hayward, Superior, did not get the snow that we did here. And I think we might have gotten a couple of inches. Some places north of Madison, 3 or 4, but that's about it. I will be in Hayward next week on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. The Birkenbeiner, the American Birkenbeiner Ski Race, will in fact go on the 50th anniversary of the Berkey, and we're going to be there. What they have done is decided to change the course. Instead of going from Cable, Wisconsin to Hayward, they're going to have a 10-kilometer loop in the Cable area. Still some activities in Hayward, which is where we are going to be based out of at the WBZW headquarters, the Buzz of the North. In WBZH, get my letters right there, the Buzz of the North. We will be there in Hayward at our studios right downtown and be interviewing some of the people involved with the Berkey. And then we'll see. Maybe on Friday, if conditions warrant, we will try to make our way actually to the site in Cable. But I will be up there Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week. So hopefully maybe a little bit of snow for them. Otherwise, they're making a lot of snow, and communities around Hayward are making snow and literally trucking it in.
Either way, I'm sure it's going to be a great time.
The show must go on. Indeed, our show will go on as well. We're glad to have you along here on a Thursday. Coming up in hour two, not going to want to miss it, a great live interview with our friend of the show, Doug Moe. You might know Doug from many of his writings in the wonderful publication Madison Magazine here in town. And also he's written some books, co-written some books as a freelance writer as well. Just an all-around interesting guy. And so Doug Moe will join us on hour two of the program at 1:30, talking about a couple of new projects that he's working on. one near, well, both actually near and dear to my heart. One with a musician and one with a politician. A musician and a politician. And we're also going to look back at some of the great columns Mr. Moe has written.
You know, that kind of describes our show, too, in a way.
A musician and a politician. A little bit. A little bit. You're certainly a musician.
And I'm more or less a musician. Yeah. You more or less a politician. Or at least have been.
Recovering.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I'm a has-been. That's right. It is 10 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Also going to look on what's going on with the Trumpster. He's back in court. Wrapped up once again with a porn star trying to decide what they're going to make of these payments that he made to cover up his involvement with good old Stormy Daniels.
You know, if he just didn't use campaign money, it wouldn't be such a big deal.
Wouldn't be such a big deal. Also talk a little bit about maps as well this morning. And there is breaking news today on a new entry into the United States Senate race. Here in the state of Wisconsin, going to bring you that news and check in with that as well. But first of all, I want to get to a breaking story here in the last 5 minutes or so. This coming across from channel3000.com, WISC-TV here in Madison. This is sad news to a lot of people. I think particularly a lot of young girls who have had American Girl dolls. Headline, American Girl is closing its corporate offices in Middleton, Wisconsin. According to two sources familiar with the matter, there are about 30 employees impacted with exit dates ranging from Friday, February 16th, tomorrow, through early September of this year. A current employee tells News 3 Now a small team of corporate functions will be able to continue remotely. That employee says the warehouse in DeForest, Wisconsin, will remain. For those who aren't familiar across the state, DeForest is another suburb of Madison, more on the northeast side of town, and Middleton, of course, on the west side of, or to the west of Madison. American Girl was founded here in Wisconsin, in Middleton, in 1986. The company was sold to Mattel in 1998. Earlier this month, an investment group with shares in Mattel, urged the company to sell off American Girl and Fisher-Price as a way to pop up sagging stock prices. Again, it's a developing story. This courtesy from News 3 Now, Channel 3000, the CBS affiliate here in Madison. We'll update you more as well. But certainly sad news as American Girl closing its corporate offices here in Middleton, Wisconsin.
It turns out when there's a pressure to always make your numbers go up and not, you know, just follow a natural ebb and flow, that you have to do some weird stuff.
Well, of course, the founder of American Girl, Pleasant Rowland, who has been a fantastic philanthropist, particularly here in Madison, she and her husband, Mr. Frouchy, gave the money for the building that I'm looking out across the street of right downtown Madison right now on State Street, the Overture Center. And it was Pleasant Rowland.
I didn't realize that was them that contributed.
So Pleasant Rowland and Jerry Frouchy, I believe it's their second marriage for both of them. They were impressive and successful in their own right. Pleasant Rowland founded American Girl Doll and obviously did very, very well. And Jerry Frouchy had his own business. And then they got married and it was kind of this, you know, major local couple of multimillionaires was born and they have given much of their wealth away. I believe it was $200 million that Pleasant Rowland and Jerry Frouchy gave for the Overture Center across the street. And they were going to name it the Frouchy Rowland Center. And they said, no, we don't want our names on it. And so if you go in the lobby here, I can almost see it out our window of the Overture Center, kind of engraved in the granite, the white granite on the wall, there's a little ode to them and their names, but it's very subtle and it doesn't stand out. And so I've met them a couple of times, very pleasant, no pun intended, but very nice, pleasant, humble people who have given much of their wealth away. But yeah, they got to an age, Pleasant Rollins said, look, I'm not going to run this company anymore. I want to focus on my philanthropy. And so sold it to Mattel, as the article says here, courtesy of Channel 3000. And once Mattel got it, I mean, it kind of, as you said, became a corporate entity. And now it's just another another notch in this major corporation's belt. So the American Girl doll most likely will go on. It's just that their corporate headquarters here in Middleton is closing down. So sad news for local folks, certainly.
Yeah, and I'd be surprised if American Girl dolls as a whole went away anytime soon. I guess...
Did your sister or anybody that you know have one?
Yes, I have three sisters, and I believe each of them had one. And I know, you know, as a brother with three sisters and no other brothers, I definitely played with them a lot,
sure,
too.
Yeah.
And I really always thought that all the furniture and accessories and stuff was really cool because it'd be, like, perfect replications of, I don't know, a little dentist's office or something.
Right. No, it's... They're pretty cool, actually. And I don't believe my sister ever had an American Girl doll, but I think both my nieces do. So anyway, we'll keep updating you on that story. Again, I apologize for the voice here and the nasalness, but fighting this cold, hopefully it will pass soon. Mr. Somers, I have that first cut that I queued up. We're going to take that as we go out here on the break. I'm going to spend about 3 minutes on this today because I know other hosts have done a great job covering it at length today, this morning. But I would be remiss in not recognizing that there was yet another mass shooting yesterday afternoon, this one in Kansas City, Missouri, during the victory parade for the Kansas City Chiefs. About 20 people injured, several of those children, at least one person dead, several more critical. Mr. Zomers, you'll recall, I believe it was last year when we were in the old studio, I think we did an entire hour because one day I came in and the top six headlines on CNN were all about shootings in America.
Right.
I've spent an inordinate amount of time on this. As someone who owns firearms, as a hunter, I'm also someone who has said that I believe strongly in responsible and reasonable gun control. I think we should have red flag laws. I think there should be waiting periods. I don't know any hunter worth their salt who needs an AR-15 to go deer hunting. I think there should be training if you're going to carry, conceal carry, or other firearms. But Republicans today and the leadership and Donald Trump do not want any sort of reasonable gun control laws. Look at what happened in Congress. They can't barely elect a speaker. They're down to a 2-seat majority. Nothing's going to get done this term on gun control. That's the reality. The only chance that we have an actual gun reform is in November at the ballot box. And if you want some hope, look to last April when the voters of this state showed up and they put Janet Protasiewicz in the Supreme Court. And it's making a difference. So there's the hope. There's what can be done. Call your lawmakers in Washington, D.C. and tell them your thoughts and vote in November. And when you go to the polls, I want you to remember this cut. Less is sometimes more when it comes to radio and when it comes to activism. And this clip from Donald Trump this week says it all. Remember this in November.
During my 4 years, nothing happened, and there was great pressure on me having to do with guns. We did nothing. We didn't yield. And once you yield a little bit, that's just the beginning. That's the avalanche begins.
Donald Trump did nothing when it comes to gun reform. His words, not mine. Remember when you go to the polls in November. Back after this, we're going to talk about a new entry into the United States Senate race.
You're listening to WRJN Racine, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
It's Black History Month, and civic media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
Did you know there was a time when African Americans couldn't buy their own homes? In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled the ban on selling property to black buyers was unconstitutional. Yet black people still couldn't purchase homes in white neighborhoods. The Fair Housing Act in 1968 ended this type of discrimination, but there's still work to do. Today, only 40% of Black populations own their own homes. Listen for another Black history story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's 20 now past the hour of 12 noon. What is it again, Mr. Zavras?
California Love by Tupac.
Oh, very good. Very good. I never thought we'd play Tupac on this show, but that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Very good. California, very apropos. Mr. Zavras right on top of it. Breaking news about an hour ago from our friends over at WispPolitics.com. Now, let me tell you something. If you're not signed up for the WISP Politics, you're missing out because it's run by our good friend, Jeff Mayers, who was the founder over there. And, J.R. Ross does a fantastic job. And if you're not, it's local, it's just like Organic Valley Milk or Quick Trip or Culver's. Wisconsin politics is local. WISP Politics. And so get yourself over to WISPpolitics.com. WISPpolitics.com and sign yourself up and you'll be in the know. You get the latest alerts. And be in the know. So from our friends over at WISP Politics, breaking news today in the political front in Wisconsin, a spokesperson for OC Eric Covey. All right, that's not what WISP Politics wrote. The OC part is Todd. A spokesperson for Eric Covey confirmed to WISP Politics this morning that it says Madison businessman next week will officially launch his campaign challenging U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat of Madison. Hovde spokesperson Ben Volkel confirmed the move was coming, which was initially reported by the Associated Press. So don't forget the great folks at the Associated Press as well. WISP Politics reported last week that David Rexrode, who worked for the Republican Governors Association from 2015 to 2022, is expected to serve as the general consultant for Hovde's campaign. Meanwhile, Lexi Artis, who served as U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's deputy operations director and finance coordinator for the 2016 reelection bid, is expected to be the campaign manager. Hovde ran for the U.S. Senate in 2012, but lost in the Republican primary to Tommy George Thompson, former governor of Wisconsin, who went on to lose to Baldwin. Remember that race? We'll get into that in a minute. Franklin businessman Scott Mayer is also weighing a bid against Baldwin. That, according to WISP Politics, first reported, as they say, by the Associated Press. Now, in this article, it does not say anything about perhaps my favorite candidate, and they're ignoring him. Former Milwaukee County Sheriff, all hat, no cattle, Clark. Now, here's a guy who ran as a Democrat, then switched over to be a Republican, basically took the law into his own hands down there in Milwaukee, got himself voted out, and then became a Trump appointee. And get this, he was too much for Trump. And Trump said, I don't want this guy around. I mean, when Donald Trump says you're nuts, that's maybe a signal, right?
I don't even know what you have to do for Donald Trump to say you're nuts.
I know. But poor old former Milwaukee County Sheriff, all hat, no cattle Clark, because I say this because he wears the goofy cowboy. He's not really a cowboy, you understand. And I know that some sheriffs wear cowboy hats, but usually that's the more rural sheriffs out in the rural parts of the state. But this guy, who was the sheriff from Milwaukee County, thought he'd be cool to wear himself a cowboy hat. But he's all, like we say back in Richland Center in southwest Wisconsin, he's all hat and no cattle. He just likes to play a cowboy. He's got no cattle. This guy likes to pretend he's a politician, but he acts very tough. He's a tough guy, this David Clark. But he's getting no love, you understand. Republicans don't want him. And I think it would be spectacular if he gets in. I would love that. And of course, his friend across town, Vicky McKenna, she's a big fan. So I think it'd be great to get him on the in the race. Be a lot of fun for the Republicans. Now, in an article from a couple of days ago in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lawrence Andrea, another great reporter there, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he wrote this story, very insightful. Want to take your calls on this. What do you think about Eric Hovde getting in the race for United States Senate? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. Download it to your favorite Apple or Android device. There's a little button there. You just punch it, and you can text right in. So from this story from a couple of days ago in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Scott Mayer says he's still seriously considering a run for Senate in Wisconsin, and he's taking aim at a potential primary rival in the process. Now, an update this morning says that Republican Scott Mayer is walking back claims about hiring staff for a Senate run. Here is his explanation, according to the Journal Sentinel. Mayer, a businessman from Franklin, told the Journal Sentinel he is continuing to hire campaign staff and waiting for another potential Republican candidate, Eric Hovde, to make his move, which he has done now. But he's also questioning the Madison banking mogul's viability as a candidate and connections to Wisconsin. Now, see, this is fantastic because, again, this is not, you know, Democrats saying this, not progressives, not even Todd, a former Republican. This, I love this when Republicans rat themselves out. It's absolutely fantastic. Here's a quote from this Scott Mayer, a true Wisconsin business guy. He says, quote, "I don't know that Wisconsin voters are keen on having a Wisconsin senator that lives in California. So that would be one of my bigger concerns," unquote. I like this guy. I like this guy a lot. And he nails it on the head here, because here's the problem with good old Eric Hovde. Now, I knew his father. His father, pretty good guy, actually. And in our old congressional office, back when I worked for a member of Congress, the building just about a block and a half away here, it's actually the quote-unquote first skyscraper in Madison, the Churchill Building, like right across from the Capitol. That's where our office was at. It was owned by his dad, Mr. Hovde, who was a decent guy. This Eric, the kid, didn't get many of the genes, unfortunately, as far as, you know, ethics and that sort of thing. Just a goofball. And so Eric, the kid, unlike his old man who stayed in Wisconsin and did a lot of good, the kid, Eric, decides to hop a plane and start a life in California. And that's fine. That's fine if you want to go to California and start a life. It's a, you know, it's a great place out there for some people. The problem is, if you're going to make your whole life in California, you should probably move back and be a part of Wisconsin for a few months or a couple of years before you decide to be a U.S. senator.
Yeah, Tony on YouTube has commented on that exact thing. He says, has he bought the proper attire? Flannel, Carhartt coat, jeans, floppy hat. Does he even know where Quick Trip is?
That's a great question.
I bet he gets his coffee from Citgo.
That's a great question, Tony. So here going on, this Scott Mayer, another guy, this is an actual Wisconsin business guy thinking about running for Senate as Republican, says this of Eric Hovde, who just got the race. Said, quote, "He said he's going to do it before, but he hasn't. And I'm also concerned if he comes out, is he going to run a good campaign? There's a lot of stuff with Eric that everybody in Wisconsin has concerns about," unquote. Now, that's fascinating, because here's a guy, Republican, Scott Mayer, who's telling us there's things out there that voters might not know. Again, not a Democrat, not a progressive operative, fellow Republican.
I think our friend Luke Mathis put it well when he tweeted this about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it worked so well for the last coastal carpetbagger.
Right? Good old Tim Michaels. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to come back, take your phone calls, and talk more about OC, Orange County, Eric Hovde. He's in the race. We'll talk about it. Take your phone calls. 844-967-2789. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks. comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday. The dairy complex is groaning under world pressure, notably China's absence in the marketplace. This is the word from Mike North, principal at EverEgg. He says there's a lack of interest globally for dairy products amidst struggling currencies. U.S. cheese prices are the lowest in the world, but still only seeing limited interest.
Thankfully, we have a really strong trading partner in Mexico to make up some of the difference, but not all, which is why the exports right now are so key, because we need to fill some voids that we struggled to essentially send product into over the course of the 2023 calendar. So you're right. That has certainly been weighing on this market, and China's absence has been very, very highly documented.
Mike North along with us, a principal at EverEgg. We'll take a look at our commodity prices, including the Class 3 milk contracts, next.
Fabulous Farm Babe, glad to be joined in studio today by Doug Munson. He is the gentleman that is working in conjunction with the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board to make things happen here in the state of Wisconsin. What starts in Wisconsin can have a ripple effect across the United States.
That's what we always hope for, is what are those ripple effects? You know, for every dollar that's invested, it's a return of $12.34. You know, how those investments really bring value, they can be debated or they can be looked at in many different ways. Biodiesel brings, I think we say over a dollar now, you know, years ago before inflation, we'll say, it was 63 cents to a bushel of soybeans that brought that value. Whether it's 63 cents or it's a dollar 34, which we've heard as high as that amount, that's a huge amount of value to your bushel of soybeans. So those are the things that are ripple effects, right? That can start in Wisconsin or sometimes at the national level, but have big impact in the world of soybean.
Doug Munson, in studio with me on behalf of the Wisconsin Soybean Association and the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, the financial driving force behind our research that's done here in the state of Wisconsin. For more, pop on over to cornsoyexpo.org.
Thursday from Chicago, cash corn is down 2.25 cents at 422 a bushel. December new crop corn is down 3 cents at 461.25. Cash beans are down 6.5 cents at 1164 a bushel, and November new crop beans are down 10.75 cents at 1144.25. And July new crop wheat is down 1.75 cents at 578.5. Taking a look at the March Class 3 milk contract, that's down 11 cents at $16.91 a hundredweight. April milk is also down 9 cents at $17.21 a hundredweight. In other news, Cedar Crest Ice Cream has found its summer 4-H flavor. Congratulations to the Pathfinders 4-H Club in Lincoln County for their winning flavor, Paul Bunyan. It will make its debut in ice cream parlors in July. The ingredients feature maple syrup, among other things, and it sounds absolutely delicious. You can see for yourself at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Under a mix of sun and clouds today, as high temperatures climb slightly above freezing into the upper 30s. But the breezy winds blasting us out of the northwest at 30 miles per hour is making it feel about 10 degrees cooler. It's also dragging in cooler temperatures for tomorrow. Right now, it's 35.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
News, talk, and sports.
Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
All the leaves are gone.
Welcome back to the Todd Allmall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Zahmer is perfect. Perfection. This is why he is the best producer and engineer at Civic Media. 35 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Spectacular. Let that play a little bit longer. I want to hear that more. Voters of Wisconsin, this is what's coming to your 2024 election campaign season. California, OC Orange County, Eric Hovde has entered the race. He is tan, he is rested, he has a porn mustache, and he is ready. Eric Hovde has entered the race as a Republican to take on United States Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat of Madison. Tammy Baldwin, born, raised in Madison, went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, got her degree, was an assembly person from Madison, Wisconsin, represented Madison and South Central Wisconsin in the United States Congress in the 2nd District, and then went on to be elected to the United States Senate running for re-election. She is Wisconsin through and through. It is what Trigvi Olson, our friend from the Lincoln Project, who joins us every Wednesday, likes to remind people. One of the reasons that Tammy Baldwin is so successful is because she knows how to listen to people and she produces results. She can sit in Madison or she can go to Hayward and have a beer or a cup of coffee and talk the same language. She goes to Wisconsin Dells, as one of my former bosses likes to call the boys up in the Dells. He says that because it's mostly guys who run the Dells, the Wisconsin Dells, the business people up there. And they have to hire so many people from particularly Europe and the Caribbean and South America because they can't find American kids that want to work anymore. And so they bring in people from all over the world to work at Wisconsin Dells so people could go float around. It's a fact. And Tammy Baldwin has done more for people in the Dells to get through immigration problems so that these guys in the Dells can legally bring people into work than anybody else. Roads in Wisconsin. Tammy Baldwin has worked in a bipartisan fashion to bring in infrastructure and roads so that people can drive from Chicago and the Twin Cities to Wisconsin Dells to spend a lot of money. Tammy Baldwin's worked with the agriculture community to bring in billions of dollars in agriculture money for Wisconsin. And when it comes to constituent relations, this is true. I know Republicans who tell people don't call Ron Johnson's office, call Tammy Baldwin's office because they actually get things done for their constituents. Now that's hard to beat, particularly when you're from California, from Orange County, California, and want to run here in Wisconsin. But old Eric Hovde's, OC Eric Hovde's, going to give it a try. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go up to Green Bay. Steve in GB, what do you think of OC Eric Hovde?
Yes, I would like to talk to you about Mr. Humpty.
Right, what do you know?
I have a couple things to say.
Sure.
First of all, if he's a Republican in the state of California, I can see why he's coming to Wisconsin, because he's probably taking a beating over there. But as far as Tammy Baldwin's concerned, if he's running as a Republican, I really don't know what he's going to be able to offer us that Tammy Baldwin isn't already giving us. I mean, he's got a steep, steep running person that he's running against. He's got someone that's got a proven record on the issues. He's got someone that actually is in Washington getting things done. And I'm sorry, you're going to have to give me a bronze statue at least to vote for before I will not vote for Tammy Baldwin, because Tammy Baldwin is a valuable asset. There's not a lot of people like her in office anymore. And I'm not letting her get voted out unless it's outstanding. And I don't think Republicans can produce that.
I appreciate the call, Stephen. And, you know, you're in line with this other Republican guy, Scott Mayer, another Wisconsin. This guy's actually from Wisconsin, a Wisconsin business guy who's thinking about running against Hovde in a primary. And the Republican, Scott Mayer, says this of Eric Hovde. Says, I don't know that Wisconsin voters are keen on having a Wisconsin senator that lives in California. So that would be one of my bigger concerns, unquote.
Here's my thought. So Tammy Baldwin, Wisconsinite through and through. And so you know she maintains her windshield wipers due to the weather conditions in Wisconsin. So when Eric Hovde buzzes out in front of her car, he's just going to get wiped right off. Wiped right off Tammy Baldwin's windshield, pretty, and that'll be his fate.
Pretty good take on that, Mr. Zomers. 844-967-2789 if you want to weigh in on Eric Hovde announcing he's going to take on Tammy Baldwin. Might first have to get through a Republican primary against Scott Mayer or former Milwaukee County Sheriff, All Hat, No Cattle Clark, who has also not said whether he's going to get in or not. Off of YouTube, Papa Rico says, Tammy's got the winning strategy. Listen and support we the people. Wow, that's brilliant. Well said, Papa Rico. This is what makes her such a great United States Senator, and this is what makes her so tough to beat, just what Papa Rico said. She focuses on her constituents. She's out amongst the people. She actually talks to, and this is it's not just a political ploy. It's actually the way she thinks the government should work. Sure, she's a Democrat, proud Democrat. She runs a Democrat. But when she's elected, she actually is a senator for everyone. And that's not just a campaign slogan, because I just listed off a bunch of people that are generally Republicans that vote for her and think she's doing a great job because she actually does what she says. These comments by Scott Mayer, the guy who is thinking about running against Eric Hovde in the primary, comes less than 9 months until the November election. Until today, no other big Republican name had announced to run, but Hovde now poised to enter the race, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and WisPolitics and the AP. This is interesting. National Republican Senatorial Committee Chair Steve Daines told the Journal Sentinel in December that Hovde is, quote, gonna get in the race, unquote, with support from national Republicans. So apparently the National Republican Senate Committee is going to get involved in this primary. They're going to give polling numbers. They're going to give staff. They're going to give money to OC Eric Hovde to make sure that good old David All Hat No Cattle Clark doesn't win. And apparently they don't want Scott Mayer to win either. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go out to Lake Mills. Nick, listening in Lake Mills. Nick, what say you?
Hey, what metric is the RNC using to think that they can beat Tammy Baldwin? It sounds like they're just throwing their money away. Usually you try to find a district that's kind of like really competitive and like, hey, we might be able to pick up a seat here or over there. Yeah. Why do they think they can take Tammy Baldwin's seat? That I'm interested in why they think she's vulnerable.
Well,
I'll take your comments off the air.
Sure. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling, Nick. Thanks for listening out there in beautiful Lake Mills. It's a great question. And look, I left the Republican Party in 2011, so I don't really have the benefit of this. I still know some people on the party that talk to me, you know, off the record a little bit and give me some insight. My guess is, Nick, based on my experience, is that because Wisconsin is going to be pivotal, one of probably five states that will decide the presidential race. They know that both Biden and Trump are going to spend a lot of time here. They know that both the National Republican and Democratic parties are going to spend money here. The turnout should be high, if any indication. And so Republicans feel that with that much attention, with that much money being spent nationally by both sides of Wisconsin, that they needed to try to take a shot at Senator Baldwin. Now, to your point, I think that a lot of more thoughtful Republicans, better candidates, i.e. Mike Gallagher, congressman from the Green Bay area, who just announced he's not going to run for his seat in Congress and he's getting out of politics. Now, I think Tammy probably still could have beat him, but that would have been a much closer race, in my opinion. That would have been a much more formidable candidate, a much more reasonable, rational candidate to run against her. But anybody who is even close to being reasonable and rational on the Republican side, they see what Tammy's done. They see how popular Senator Baldwin is statewide, they see, and actually, I would say probably even more than that, they look at those things I said on the last segment, that Tammy Baldwin reaches out to Republicans, business people in the Dells, gets infrastructure, works with agriculture people, gets helps with immigration, the constituent casework. For those that have never, I spent 5 years working for a congressman and 20 plus years working for a state senator. One of the keys, particularly I would argue at the congressional level of getting reelected, is how well your staff does the constituent work. So every time that someone has a Social Security problem, an immigration problem, a tax problem, a small business problem, and calls into your office, how quickly does your staff get back to them? How efficient are they, your staff, at cutting through red tape and getting things done? These are not the things that show up in polling. These are not the things oftentimes that show up in advertising. But when people go to the polls, either they had a personal experience on the good side with constituent relations with Senator Baldwin, or they say, you know what? My uncle was having Social Security problems and Tammy's office got that all cleared up. Or, you know, my spouse at their work, they were trying to get someone an H-1B visa and Tammy Baldwin's office got that done. That's why she's so formidable. And that's why Eric Hovde, I think, has virtually no chance. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Carol, listening in WMDX here in Madison. Carol, thanks for calling. Let's see.
Hi, Todd. Tammy just loves Wisconsin, and her staff loves Wisconsin. And she's just a normal person. She doesn't have any airs or expect to be bowed down to as a senator. She just is a normal person that you can talk to, and it just comes across with just bubbling personality for Wisconsin. And 4 years ago, the last time she had to run 6 years ago, she took down Tommy Thompson with basically the ad that said, he's moved on to Washington, D.C. He's not for you anymore, Wisconsin.
He's not the Tommy they used to know. That was the line. Yeah.
Yep. And she was very successful, and I think she can do it again. So yeah. I'm all for her, and I'm all in. Thanks, Todd.
Really appreciate the call. Thank you, Carol. Thanks for listening here in Madison. Carol on WMDX, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Taking your calls and thoughts on Eric Hovde, OC, Orange County. Eric Hovde getting in the race against Tammy Baldwin.
Just like what Carol said about her being a normal person, we have some comments in that line on Facebook. Rico says, I actually met Tammy at a 4th of July festival in Rock County, and she's had my vote ever since. I will actually say she had me at, hello, my name is Tammy. And PJ, also on YouTube, says, I met her when I lived in Madison during my college days. She's very nice.
Yes. Yes, she absolutely is. On the other side here, I'm going to tell you a personal story on my interactions with Senator Baldwin. I can attest to these comments coming in. Her humility, her realness, her graciousness. I'm going to tell you that in about a minute and a half here or so. Back to this Journal Sentinel story quickly. This Scott Mayers, who's also thinking about running, his attacks echo those launched by the Wisconsin Democrats who have attempted to paint Hovde as an out-of-state millionaire by pointing to his multi-million-dollar house in Laguna Beach, California, and Hovde's California-based businesses. That's, by the way, a spokesperson for Hovde declined to comment on Mayers' remarks. I bet they did.
Interesting.
Come back. I will tell you my personal interactions with the senator on the other side. Not going to want to miss it. She's the real deal, and so are we. It's the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News, Talk, and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Wisconsin voters, listen up for important information about a recent decision from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The court has ruled that Wisconsin's current state legislative maps are unconstitutional. While Wisconsin is closely divided between Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, these Republican-drawn maps have allowed them to keep big majorities in the state legislature, even when more people voted for the other party.
Republicans have used these rigged maps to stay in power and serve their special interest friends while being unaccountable to Wisconsin voters, undermining progress on important issues that Wisconsin really cares about, like rising costs, gun violence, and abortion access. Now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has ordered that new maps be drawn to protect our freedoms and make sure our voices are heard. Visit abetterwisconsin.org/fairmaps to tell the Wisconsin Supreme Court thank you for standing up for fair maps. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to WRJN, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock, Little Hotel, California, on this Thursday, February 15th, in honor of OC Orange County, Eric Covey, who announced this morning, or hasn't really announced, but has been leaked out, another indication of how good your campaign organization is. Look, I've run a lot of campaigns, from local all the way to federal races. The one thing you want to control if you're a campaign is your message and the timing. And already they've dropped the ball, the Hovde people have, because they didn't get to announce on their terms. It was leaked out. Associated Press picked it up. Then WisPolitics. And it had been confirmed by a spokesperson from the Hovde campaign. Eric Hovde is getting in the race against Tammy Baldwin. He lives in Orange County, California. Also, this guy, Scott Mayer, a Wisconsin business guy, thinking about running as a Republican, and says, look, quote, I don't know that Wisconsin voters are keen on having a Wisconsin senator that lives in California. So that would be one of my bigger concerns, unquote. Mayer says he's trying to put together a staff. I'm not sure if this is, he claims, according to this Journal Sentinel, he hired Chaz Nichols, formerly of Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clocks and Tables Clayfish's gubernatorial campaign as campaign manager. But Nichols now says that that's not the case. Nichols says he has done consulting with Mayer, but last year, but he has no plans to join the team. So Mayer's organization is off to a strong start as well. But Mayer said this about Eric Hovde, his potential Republican primary opponent, according to the Journal Sentinel, quote, I've gotten to know Eric. I like him. He is genuinely a nice guy. But he lives in California. I think that's a little bit problematic. He posts about his $20 million home in Laguna Hills. Unquote. In 2018, Hovde paid nearly $7 million to buy a hillside estate in Laguna Beach, according to the Journal Sentinel. That price is more than three times what Hovde paid for his Madison home on Lake Mendota. Democrats have focused on the home in an attempt to portray Hovde as a California millionaire, not a Wisconsinite. Well, the Democrats don't have to do it. The Republicans already are. Here off the text line, by the way, feel free to text us using your Civic Media app at your iPhone or Apple device. Let's go up here just a little bit higher. There we go. This is Jimmy K texting in on the WMDX line. Says, has anybody in Congress done more to support veterans than Tammy Baldwin, especially Wisconsin veterans? I very much doubt it, unquote. Thanks, Jimmy K. Absolutely agree with you on that. Also, Andrew from Maine says, but the Republican National Committee only has a couple million dollars to spend across the U.S. Could be a challenge, unquote. That was a story we used last week. And yes, the RNC itself was down to about $9 million a month ago. But remember, the Senatorial Republican Committee is a different committee, and they have a different pot of money to choose from. And they actually have more money, I believe, cash on hand than the RNC. Also,
even still, it seems like a waste to spend any money on running against Tammy Baldwin.
Well, they're going to take their shot, though, for reasons I said before, because so much outside money is going to be spent on the presidential race. Also, Andrew from Maine asks, Toddles, that's my sister. Toddles, if Senator Baldwin reached out and invited you to join her staff, would you consider joining? I have a good job. I appreciate the, I have nothing but respect for the Baldwin team, but I'm happy where I am. WAUK, Andrew from Maine. It must have been autocorrect. All right.
I think that's a joke.
So here's the deal. This is how I know Senator Baldwin, and I knew her tangentially from working here in Madison at the Capitol before. In 2000, I was the co-campaign manager for the race for United States Congress for Republican John Sharpless, a beloved University of Wisconsin-Madison professor who is running the second time for the second district congressional seat, of which Tammy Baldwin was running for her first time reelected in for the congressional seat. And my friend Sam and I were running that race. It ended up that Tammy won re-election by less than 1%. That's a whole other bottle of wine or cup of coffee. It was a tight, less than 1% historic numbers of voters. Tammy won the race, of course. 15 years later, well, maybe 12, a staffer that Sam and I had worked with on the Republican side had also worked for Tammy, and she was retiring, Andy Bagley. And she had a party. My friend Sam and I went to it. Andy, the staffer, invited all of her bosses. And Andy was one of those few people that had worked for Tom Barrett, a Democrat, Steve Gunderson, a Republican, Tammy Baldwin, a Democrat, and Scott Klug, a Republican.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a collection,
too. She invited all of her bosses to come to a retirement party. One did. And that was Tammy Baldwin. She drove herself. This was down in Pewaukee. She drove herself, no entourage, came in nonchalantly, started talking to people. At one point, Sam and I came face to face with her. And we stuck in our hands. We said, Senator, you probably don't remember us, but, you know, it's Todd and Sam. She goes, I absolutely remember. You ran John Sharpless's race. We said, yes. A little uncomfortable, right? That woman could not have been more kind and gracious. And she said, you know what? That race did more good for us than anything else. It really maybe changed some of the ways that we did things in our office, and we improved and we've gotten better. And I owe you guys in part for that. I mean, how gracious is that? She didn't have to say that.
No, she didn't.
And we stood there and had like a 20-minute conversation. Maybe 15. She was nothing but kind. And still to this day, when I see her, of course, she's been a guest on our show here. And again, from people that I know all across the state, have had nothing but the same type of interaction. The story I just told you, never been reported, but it was a private moment, and that is how Tammy Baldwin conducts herself in private. And if there's one thing I have learned in my 30-plus years in politics, if you want to know the way someone really is going to perform in office, observe them in private. Tammy Baldwin is the real deal, folks. And I know this firsthand. Good luck, Eric Covdy, OC Eric Covdy. You're going to have an awfully difficult time.
Once you check in, you can't check out of Hotel California.
That's exactly right. OC Eric Covdy cannot check out of the Hotel California. Back on the other side for hour two. Don't go anywhere. It's the Almost Show on Civic Media.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go.
This is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
Join me, Lou Regani, as we explore the history of Racine, Kenosha, Wisconsin. For over 30 years, I've told the story of our community, and now I'm excited to be part of Civic Media to continue this journey. So won't you listen in and even be part of the discussion? Tune your radio to 1400 AM or 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. You can always stream the show live by downloading the Civic Media app.
The Lou Regani Show, Sundays 7 till noon on WRJN. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun.
It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.